Hello, and thank you to Allegra Lab for allowing me to reflect alongside my colleagues in this roundtable discussion on conducting fieldwork in the Global South. I am Palestinian, and I study Palestinian history. It is work of commitment, and it takes three forms for me: commitment to the field, commitment to the local, and commitment to the South. One of the abiding critiques of Palestine and Palestinian scholarship is that it binds one to politics, thus denying oneself designation as a scholar, or the ability or the capacity or the right, really, to claim scholarly rigor. This, of course, varies from discipline to discipline, but there are some recurring dimensions to these specious claims. Everything that one does on Palestine as a Palestinian is somehow ethnographic, and it's an accusation registering danger of one's choice of scholarship, as if to say, do not listen to the scholar on their own terms. First, adjudicate their comportment, their speech, mine it for any possible split from the narrow constraints of liberal consensus, including amongst those who are ostensibly supportive of Palestinian freedom. It permeates nearly every aspect of academic culture and encounters. The seminar, the classroom, the faculty meeting, job talks, peer reviews, fellowships, and grants. How does that awareness then transform one's own speech to truth, to power, to others, to self? To study despite that misrecognition is a commitment to a field. I was born in Palestine, but if one is Palestinian, I'm not necessarily an expert on every part of Palestine. Tiny as it is, I do not have access to wide swaths of it due to occupation, genocide, and siege. What does it mean to be a stranger in a particular part of the land, and how do we navigate that space in a way where we're introducing ourselves to communities and organizations and spaces and other scholars where they know you and don't know you at the same time? In this way, what they know of you or me is often a register that's not particularly central to how I self-identify. I'll give you an example. When I was in Palestine in the summer of 2021, it was one of the few times that I did fieldwork outside of my usual area of research in the northern West Bank. This was the first time I lived for an extended period in Ramallah, and it was a bit surreal to be in a space where I wasn't immediately indexed onto local social ties through my last name. In Ramallah, I had to introduce myself, and was more understood as coming from the UK, and also of being from the northern West Bank. My accent is an immediate tell, and all the concomitant class and social assumptions of being peasant or mercantile origin, socially conservative, and what have you, that come with that. I found myself in discomfort at the repeated misrecognitions I was not actually used to, and it makes me wonder if this discourse on being native sometimes flattens distinctions that those on the land do not do. And so I think it's important to think in striations and gradations of the experience of being native to a place and our complicated and tenuous relationship to these skills. To insist on it is to commit to the local. Finally, there is the question of the bounds of commitment. At the moment, the repression on Palestine speech and the ongoing genocide against Palestinians is of such existential weight that it subsumes broader commitments, some of which complicate my relationship to what it means to be native in the field. What commitments do we have that might estrange us from particular social sectors I am assumed to be in alignment with? How do we reject silos and reject implosion and perspective as a result of genocide? I wonder, too, about the political economy of some of these ethical discourses we go on about in the academy. These are, of course, well-trod questions. There's a discrepancy in capital, there's discrepancy in mobility and security and capacity to speak, all in the context of a collapsing academy where to write and research has shrunk to a smaller number of obscenely wealthy private or donor-infused institutions. And when I am native to a field, the politics of the promise, the obligation, can be additionally laden. Research ethical frameworks call on us to not promise what we can't deliver, that participatory research rarely meets its actual declared goals. But the thing about promising and unpromising is that it can happen without any promise actually being made. Those we talk to have a sense of their own power and the stakes of our work, too. I'm going to talk to this person because maybe this person will help me, they might think. I'm going to talk to this person because maybe then they'll hire me. These things are structural, and I think to avoid that structural element and think that we can articulate ourselves into an ethics or morality, or that we can articulate ethically out of them, doesn't much move beyond an exercise of finger-twirling anxieties. We have to sit with the structural inequality of our work and not try to dance around the obligation of asking how and should we mitigate its harms. How do we use ourselves to forge for all of us a better condition of our lives? We often do violence as we try to write about violence, as we try to fight against violence. There's forms of over-research that can gut a place and people clean, make the vulnerable even more vulnerable. Maybe we should start our research by doing a bit more listening, that I think the strictures, habits, regimens of the academy don't value. Listening, not recording, not surveying, not abstracting, not even theorizing or citing, requires that we do something that perhaps is not in the work package of whatever grant got us to the field. We can't keep asking the South, "Hey, you know, I can't really do much for you, but would you help me out?" There's an entire literature now about the consequences of that kind of research to, for example, Palestinians in Lebanon, what it's done socially and politically and economically to those communities, the kind of despair it fostered, the sense of we keep speaking, no one keeps doing. They keep writing these goddamn books about us and building their careers on our misery. Some people respond to these unfulfilled promises with refusal and silence, and they have every right to do so. We're seeing these dynamics begin to emerge in Gaza now, too. A commitment to the South is also, then, a commitment to reckoning with that refusal, and perhaps doing refusals of our own, and letting some projects go.